Well, it's good to see each one of you here today. Thank the Lord for His blessings to us all, and I'm very grateful for the privilege that we have to be together. It's not something that I take for granted. I have had some communication with situation going on right now, and it's a small thing in the picture of the world, but it's a big thing to a family in Russia right now. a young mother that has a little baby that is I can't remember if the baby, I think it's the baby is deaf, and the mother is deaf and mute, and the government has decided that she's unfit because she won't be able to teach the child. And they've taken the child, not because she was mistreated, but because they feel like they've might limit her, the little child's potential. And you can imagine what kind of heartache that is. So I'm thankful, and I don't take for granted the opportunities that we have and the privileges we have in our country and in this situation, in our time that we live in, to get together, to meet, and to thank the Lord for His goodness to us and to look into the Word together. And I'm very, very, very human, and I'm very much susceptible to the same things that other humans are. And I have my own sets of struggles and my own battles that I have to face. And so when I stand behind this desk, I want you to know that I'm only here by the grace of God. And I want to share what the Lord has given us today. I'd like to turn to the 13th chapter of Proverbs. Notice a verse that I'm sure all of us have read in the past. And so I'll read it again to you. Begin maybe in the first verse. It says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." And that's the verse. It seems like a lot of Proverbs is written where every verse has quite a thought behind it. And this fourth verse says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Last Sunday we talked about metaphors and how that a metaphor doesn't use the words like or as or such, or they just say something is. And this verse here has a metaphor in it too, I believe. It says the soul shall be made fat. How would a soul be fat? A soul is a spiritual component of our makeup. It's the part of us that's held responsible for the Lord. And they've never dismantled a human body and found a soul. It's not in the textbook when they study biology. They don't identify any organ in our body as a soul, is the point. So how can it be fat? What's he talking about there? I believe he's talking about in the past, only people that were prosperous was able to be fat to have enough food. So he's talking about prosperity. He's talking about spiritual prosperity, spiritual benefit, spiritual excess. You know, sometimes it seems like the world around us are willing to live the life of a spiritual sluggard. They don't really want to have very much of a relationship with the Lord. They just want to holler out to God when they're in a real tight problem. You know, just before calamity strikes, or as calamity is striking, then they want to cry out to the Lord. But they don't want to have any reserve to where they can speak to God as a friend, as a father. They don't want to call out to Christ as a brother. They just want to use His name and God's name in profanity. And then when times get tough, they want to say a prayer and expect something to happen. And this verse here is talking about something, a different situation than that. He said, "The soul of the diligent shall be made fat." A fat soul, there's no limit to how fat our soul can get. And there's no there's never going to be a prescribed weight loss program for spiritual fat. I just want you to know that. It's ideal for us. You know, there's a point that even livestock can be too fat. You can have a pig that's too fat, and when you butcher it, it's kind of hard to deal with. You can have a cow that's too fat, but I'm going to tell you, as a general rule, fat looks pretty good on an animal. Well, farmers think so anyway. Easy keeper in cattle is one that you don't spend a lot of feed on, and yet they look like they're staying fat. You don't see any bones poking out or anything like that. That's what a farmer wants. Well, we want spiritual plumpness, if you will. That's what we want. Our objective is, as a congregation here, we want the souls that come here, we want them to gain something that would cause them to be spiritually plump or fat. Or Brother Fox, a man that I knew in my youth, he was fairly tall, probably at least 6 foot or just a little bit more, but he was a very large man. And he never called anything fat. He just said they were stout. And that was his expression. And we want people to be spiritually fat, plump, and stout. We want them to have some reserve. Now, I can skip a meal, and it really don't affect me too much. And it's because I've got a little bit of reserve built up. And you know, if somebody is really, really thin, to skip a meal, it could be devastating to them. And you think about the spiritual skinniness that's out there in our world today, and how it is would be so much better if our world would be more comfortable to pray in public, as Brother Sean mentioned earlier. If they would be more comfortable to share their burdens with one another, if they'd have a relationship with the Lord that was a little fatter, have a little bit more goods on hand, so to speak. So this verse said, we kind of talked about being fat a little bit. Now let's talk about what it takes to get fat. I'm going to tell you, if you skip two meals a day, you're not going to get fat. If you skip breakfast and you skip lunch, and or maybe the other way around, you just eat breakfast and you don't eat any other meal, you're not much chance of you getting fat. But I'm going to tell you, if you eat three meals a day and a snack between, and maybe a snack just before bed, there's a chance that you can gain weight. I think we'd all agree with that. So there is something about how often we eat that connects with fatness, isn't there? So notice what this verse says. It says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So I think the key here for spiritual plumpness is to understand what it means to be diligent. Because I think it's ideal to be spiritually fat. I think it's desirable. And you don't have to be physically fat to be spiritually fat. But we want to know, what does it take? So we have to understand what it means to be diligent. What does diligent mean to you? I believe that diligence is a learned behavior. I don't think any of us get here being diligent. It's something that we all have to learn. And I believe that we can learn it from several different ways. We can learn it from our environment. We can learn it from our parents, maybe our work occupation. We can learn it if somebody joins the military, there's going to be a level of diligence that they learn. They learn that they've got a limited amount of time to get dressed, make their bed, and be out in front of the barracks. It's something that's the military is famous for. They know exactly what the expectation is and how to achieve that expectation. It helps to learn diligence if you have an environment that makes it conducive for that. And sometimes we learn it out of necessity because we realize we must in life. So I ask you a question to help us understand. Would a diligent soul, a diligent person, would they put things back where they found them? I had an experience this week. Bear in mind that, and bear with me in my illustrations, but I had a car come to me this week on a tow truck. Wouldn't start. They hadn't started for quite a while, and when it got there, it was dead. The battery was dead, and I jumped it and tried to run a self-test on it, and I found out that it had a problem with... it's a hybrid, and it had a latching circuit that was open. And I began to do some testing on it. And when I got down to it, the connector on the battery, the big battery, the high voltage battery, it had been closed, but it hadn't been latched. And when it's not latched, it sets a trouble code and it won't start. You know why it wasn't unlatched? Is because people hadn't put things back. The back of the car where the battery sets, all the panels and the compartments, it looked like somebody had taken them all out and thrown them back in, and there was an extra car seat, and there was a jumper cable, and there was, I don't remember what all was in. I've had two cars that I had to get in the trunk this week, and you'd be surprised what people are hauling around in the trunk. And the reason the switch was unlatched is because I think it said it quit them going down the road. I think, nobody will own up to this, but I think that something in all the rubble back there fell over and unlatched the switch. You know, it took me less than 5 minutes after I found the problem to put everything back like it was supposed to be. There's not even any bolts involved. You just got to put things, they just kind of set in. They just have little places that they kind of latch in and just set down it. That's all I had to do. Less than 5 minutes. If somebody else would have just put things back like they belonged, it could have saved them from getting broke down. So my question is diligent. What does it mean to you? And what would it... Well, do you think a diligent person would put things back like they belong? My answer is, yes, I believe they would. I don't believe a diligent person would drive for a period of time with things just rambling around in the back of their car. And so spiritually speaking, what does it mean to be diligent, to be on top of it? How many times do diligent people lose small items? Like your keys, your phone, your pen, your pocket knife. You know, I'm not trying to stereotype us here this morning, but what do diligent people do? They have a place for those things. You know, the place for my pen is in my pocket. The place for my keys is in my pocket. And we have those things that we have this place. This is where it goes. And I always put it back there. It's not sometimes I put it back there. It's I always do that. That's the diligent, see? And he says here, the other question I have is, how many projects of a diligent person fail because they fail to read the instructions? You ever got halfway through a project and wondered, why did I start this? Or this is not working, and realize that you didn't take time to read. There's a reason they put that in there. Now, the things that trouble me today is the ones that come without instructions, and they have this QR code that I'm supposed to scan to be able to read it in my language. Now, I don't like those, but anyway, still there's instructions involved. If I'll take the time to read the instructions, many times it will save me disassembling and reassembling something. That's a characteristic of being diligent, of learning to do first things first. Brother Sammons used to say, an older minister amongst us, he used to say, steady as you go. It's cultivated. Diligence is cultivated. Steady as you go. If you're steady as you go, then what it means is that you're consistent, not sporadic. It's why the scripture says, and why we believe that we ought to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. It's because it's part of that diligence that makes our soul fat. Another minister is quoted as saying, I don't care how high you jump, as long as you walk straight when you hit the floor. I heard that phrase in the past. And, you know, enthusiasm is a wonderful thing. But may the Lord help us to realize that diligence will take us further than enthusiasm on its own. We need some enthusiasm. We need some emotion, if you will. We need some motivation and some emotion about serving the Lord, about doing the right thing, but just enthusiasm without some diligence is not going to take us very far. I'd like to go to Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and I'd like for us to take this thought of diligence and what it means to become fat in our soul. I'd like to take this down a little closer to maybe a little closer to home. Isaiah chapter 28. I would like to notice here beginning in verse 1. And some of this I'm just going to say, maybe take what I'm saying as if you want to do some studying, the diligent probably would. Do some studying and verify what I'm telling you is correct. I invite you to do that. But I want us to remember, Isaiah was a man that lived during a time before the divided kingdom of Israel, before Israel was carried off captive. And he prophesied that they would be carried off captive, and he lived to see that happen. He also lived to see the kingdom of Judah be able to come out unscathed from being oppressed and carried off captive by the same people that carried off Israel, the Assyrians. So let's go here in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. And he says, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are at the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine." Now, this is language, this is metaphors that we don't understand on the surface, but Ephraim was not part of the land of Judah. Ephraim was part of Israel. And what he's talking about here, I believe, and check me out, do your homework. Ephraim here is talking about Samaria and Israel, the kingdom of Israel, the northern part. And he said here, Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. It's something that was beautiful, and it's fading away. It's not like it used to be. He says, "Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which is a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand." This is a prophecy of destruction of Israel. Not of Judah, but Israel. Okay? "The crown of pride, the drunkard of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet." It's going to fail. This thing that they hadn't been diligent, and we're going to get to that, and they're going to fail. They're going to be carried off to captivity. He says, "And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. And they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. And the priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine, and are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision, they stumble in judgment, for all tables are full of," not something very pleasant, "all the tables are full of vomit," it says, "and filthiness, so that there is no place for clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." He's talking here about the failure of those that were not diligent, the failure of those that had not been carefully following the Lord, the failure of the lean souls, the souls that weren't fat, the ones that had rejected serving the Lord as they should, had rejected the leadership of God. And he told them, "You're going to be overflowed. You're going to be cast down. You're going to be trodden underfoot." I know this is prophetic language here, and it's a little harder for us to understand initially. But when you dig into it, that's really what he's talking about. And he says, who is it that would be able to be taught? And who would be able to understand? It's been those that are mature, those that are able to consume spiritual food. Gain weight and strength by just eating one thing. We have to have a balanced diet of some sort if you want to be healthy and you want to gain weight and gain strength. He says here, the question is, who is it that I can feed this to? He said, verse 10, this is where diligence comes in. He says, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Concept, precept. It's the same meaning, basically. One one bit of understanding added to another bit of understanding. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. In doing some studying, thinking about the message today, one writer related this to a brick mason and how that they will start up and pull a string, and they would lay the brick or the block up to that string and keep it in a straight line. And when that layer is laid, then they move the string up and they lay another course. So it's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's here a little and there a little. The diligent, the one that knows where they can find their pen, the one that knows where their tool is, the one that knows where their phone is, the one that knows where their keys are, or maybe your car. I mean, there's people that have lost that too. I've heard of people that put a flag up on their car or something, you know, maybe on the radio antenna, just so they know where theirs is at. I'm from a rural part of the United States, and I'll tell you, if you go and park your car at the airport parking at a big airport, you need to look around and find what light pole you park close to, and you need to know if it's E9 or B7 or whatever it is, because when you come back from wherever you went in the airplane and you try to find your car and you come out to this sea of literally thousands of cars, it can be tough to find your car. And you can think you know where you parked it. The diligent, line upon line, precept upon precept, concept upon concept, here a little, there a little. This is how we become fat in our soul. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. There's going to come a time, you know, when Jesus came, the common language was different. It was the universal language when Jesus was here was Greek. The language that the people spoke back in this time when Isaiah lived was Hebrew. And not that the Jews didn't speak Hebrew in the time of Jesus, but the official language, the political language was Greek. It says in verse 12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. The Lord wants us to be able to be fat. He wants us to be diligent. He wants us to carefully advance our spiritual life and walk with Him instead of just crying out for mercy when calamity hits and crying out to God to dip us out of this problem and that problem, but consistently work towards having this deep relationship with God where our soul can have enough fat on it that we can sustain the fluctuations of life. You know, some days, we all have those days where we feel real encouraged and we feel real, we're on top of the world. And then it doesn't seem like it has to be such a dramatic event, but we can feel like we're at the very bottom of the list. We feel discouraged. And I want to tell you, if we don't have enough fat on our spiritual bones, so to speak, it's going to cause us to crash and we're going to lose something there. But the Lord wants us to be able to be spiritually fat enough. And how we get there is not because of some kind of enthusiasm is good. Please don't misunderstand me here this morning. But the point of the message is that we would be diligent, carefully plotting, if you will, if you can use that word here, but carefully plotting, how do I gain just a little bit more today than I had yesterday? How do diligently seeking Him. What does that mean to do that? I believe it means to consistently do it, line upon line, precept, concept, if you will, upon concept. He says, But the word of the Lord was unto them precept. It's still the same thing. The word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and be snared and taken. You know, the same thing that would work for our benefit will work against us if we fail to avail ourselves of it. Does that make sense? The same things, you know, if we don't avail ourselves of a diligent cultivation of our relationship with the Lord, you know that that same thing will look like it's against us. It will be the thing that overthrow. We will realize we don't have what we should have. Does that make sense? I hope it does this morning. Diligence brings us incrementally to a state of spiritual prosperity. Diligence in our prayer life, diligence in studying. There's things about these passages that I just read to you that I understand much better today than I did 20 years ago. And it's not because I got some lightning bolt revelation. It's because it's been a continual application. Lord, how do I understand this a little better? Read it a little differently. Read a few more verses with it. What's the context that the writer was talking about? Lord, help us to be diligent in our study, in our application, in our relationship, in our worship with the Lord, because we want that to be on my side of the bargain and not on the opposition side of the bargain. I want to be able to have some reserve to where I can contend with the enemy, because the kingdom of Israel had forsaken all of this. You understand what I'm saying? Not the kingdom of Judah, but the kingdom of Israel had forsaken this. They had chosen to go a different way. And the Lord told them, here, all this little by little, here a little, there a little, line by line, it says that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. This opportunity that we don't take to incrementally get closer to the Lord is going to ultimately be our demise, because it'll be evidence against us. You missed it here. You missed it there. You missed this opportunity to get a little closer, you miss that opportunity. And it's going to be evidence against us instead of fat on my soul. I want the fat on my soul. This is diligence in practice. This is diligence in how we get the fatness. Diligence is not about leaps and bounds. It's about solid growth. It's about preservation. It's about retention. Which takes me to the last little point that I want to try to make. An ounce of prevention, an old adage that was taught to me, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You ever heard that? An ounce of prevention. How many ounces are there in a pound? Anybody know? You young men? Ounces in a pound. 16 ounces in a pound. Thank you. 16 ounces in a pound. So, if that statement is true, that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, it means that a small amount is worth 16 times a cure. a little bit of forethought, a little bit of planning, a little bit of investment to be in a position of strength is better than trying to fix what broke. A little bit more of cultivating the proper attitude will keep us from having to go back and apologize. Which would you rather do? Keep your cool or have to go back and apologize? You know, I'd at least 16 times rather not spout off than to say something I felt like I needed to go back and apologize for. It's at least 16 times, maybe 20. I would a lot rather be able to turn my cheek and look back and say I'm glad I was able to do that than to lash out at somebody and then realize I got a big problem on my hands. You know how we're able to do those things? It's by cultivating, by having the diligence to keep our soul in tune with the Lord on a daily basis. You know that the statement or the old adage of an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You know, prevention is done when the observer thinks it's not required. Prevention is done when looking on, it looks like you don't need to do it. When you need to do it, when it's obvious that you need to do it, it's too late. That's the time for the cure. But prevention is done. Why do you pray before you start your day? So you don't have to say, Lord, have mercy at 10 o'clock. Why do you take the time to prepare? It's so you don't have to scramble to try to make something look like it was prepared. Lord, help us to realize the ounce of prevention. It don't take near, it seems like, why do I do this? You know how hard it is to sell preventative maintenance on automobiles? I never heard of doing that. My parents never done that. I've never done that before. No, I don't think I need to. Okay. You know how many times I've heard that in my life? A lot. And then in my occupation, it's, I don't know what happened. I was just driving the road down the road, and now I need a pound of cure. I might need a truckload of cure. If only, I would have done a little preventative maintenance. If only I would have been diligent. Only the diligent value prevention. Nobody else does. You can overestimate or underestimate, however you want to look at it, the value of diligence. And you will put prevention in the same thing. And it'll be your willingness to do preventative things. Young children, it's time now to start learning how to be diligent in your relationship with each other, with the Lord. It's learn how now. I remember as a small child, in the times that my conscience felt pricked, and my parents would pray with me and help me to get my life realigned. I was very young and didn't understand life to near the extent that I do today. But they were careful to help me, and my parents were both diligent people. And I learned a lot of diligence because I didn't have a choice. My parents taught me that. My parents taught me to be, it was an environmental thing, but I'm going to tell you, there came a time that I had to choose whether to continue to be diligent or to throw it all to the side. Only the diligent value prevention. And prevention is a trial to everybody else. We've had people come to our place of business. I know those lights are on the dash. I know we had one this week. I know those tires. I mean, you could almost see the metal sticking through. I know those tires. I know all about that. I know I ought to do this. I know all I want is this. Okay. Prevention so many times is a trial on everybody but the diligent. And then when you get somebody that values the prevention, it's like, I don't know, it's been quite a while since I've done that. I keep a record, and my record says I haven't changed this fluid or I haven't. Do we keep a record in our contact with the Lord? What if we kept a record on the times that we prayed? And what if we kept a record on the time that we met together with God's people? And what if we kept a record on the times of, you know, if we said, do you offer thanks before you eat your food? And maybe some of you say, well, yeah, most of the time. And what if you said, always, every time? I don't miss that. I make sure that someone has offered thanks for the food before I eat. Well, that's diligence, see? Lord, help us to be willing. If you keep a schedule or a record on some of your mechanical things, and maybe, well, it's been 2 days since we swept the kitchen out, or I don't know, whatever. You know, I sweep the kitchen every morning or every, whatever it is. I don't know. But if you got a checklist for that, what about a checklist for my soul and my spirit? That's what I'm talking about. If we have a diligence, I'm talking to myself, just like I'm talking to you. We got to be, if we want to be fat in our soul, and I think we ought to want to if we didn't. Before today, we ought to want to be fat in our soul. And we ought to have a self, whether it's mental, it's okay if you want to have a note on your cell phone or a page on the wall or whatever. You know, you've been to those public places where they have a piece of paper hung up in the restroom or something, and somebody's went in there and they've checked it off that they did this or they did that. And sometimes it looks like somebody just went in there and went checkity checkity check down the, you know, did they really do it or not? I want us to really do it. You want to get fat in your soul? You want to be able to have the reserve to withstand the attacks of the enemy? You want to be successful? It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's take the check, put the check mark in the box. I did it this morning. I did it this evening. I did it this weekend. Whatever it is, take the word for what it is. You want to be fat. You want to be strong. You want to be able to withstand the enemy in the day of attack. It's going to be more, it's going to mean more to be diligent than it is to have enthusiasm. And I'd like for us to have more enthusiasm. I'd like to hear more shouts and more praises of the Lord. I'd like to hear more spontaneous expressions of what the goodness of the Lord is. But I'm going to tell you, diligence is what's going to take us over the finish line. Diligence is what's going to get us through the gates. Diligence is what's going to help you win the crown. I pray for you, and I desire your prayers for me, that I will keep diligence at the forefront of my heart and my mind, and I'll be able to have a soul that's fat enough to withstand the attacks of the enemy. You pray for me.